Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you enjoy wrapping Christmas gifts? How many of you like wrapping Christmas gifts? Good. A sizable minority. When I was growing up, wrapping gifts at Christmas was a huge part of the whole gifting experience. My mom once used more than 3 rolls of wrapping paper to wrap empty boxes weighted with catalogs in order to prank my father. That's another story in another sermon, so but you may hear that one someday. But one well-known source of gift wrap touts their product line this way. They say, "One of the best parts of Christmas is waking up to see all the brightly wrapped packages surrounding the Christmas tree and the joy of tearing off that festive wrap to see what's inside." You know, actually, I think that's 2 things. One of the best parts is waking up and tearing off. Yeah, it's 2 things at least. Okay, so anyway. Let, name of company, help you bring that holiday joy to your Christmas morning with unique and traditional holiday gift wrap options galore. Now, it should come as no surprise that this company, along with countless others, wants in on the opportunity to help you bring that holiday joy this Christmas morning, because it's estimated that over 226,000 feet of wrapping paper is sold every year in America. That's over $2.5 billion worth of gift wrap and gift bags. So obviously, someone must enjoy wrapping gifts. My mother-in-law certainly did. Every gift she gave was carefully and meticulously wrapped. She took time to make sure that it looked just the way she wanted it to. She loved to wrap gifts because she loved to give gifts. After she passed away this year, I was amazed to find out how many organizations, individuals, and family members she had blessed over the years with significant gifts, gifts that flowed out of a heart of generosity and love, a generosity that she never talked about. She simply did it. God loves wrapping gifts as well. And the gift that he gave at Christmas was covered with the finest wrapping. He wrapped his gift in nothing less than his love. In this morning's epistle lesson, John said, "In this the love of God was made manifest. In this the love of God was made clear. In this the love of God was revealed among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son so that by faith in him we might have life forever with him. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The Christian story is precisely the story of one grand miracle. The Christian assertion being that what is beyond all space and time, what is uncreated and eternal, came into nature, into human nature, descended into his own universe, and rose again, bringing nature up to him." You know, if you think about it, God really got the short end of the stick in this Christmas giving exchange. You know, it's the greatest statement of pride to think that God coming and saving us was something that he needed to do because we have something wonderful to offer to him. God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ for one simple reason. Because he loves us. And what does he get in return? Before he is born, Herod seeks to kill him. And then as he does nothing but good throughout his life, his motives are constantly questioned. He's accused of being in league with the devil. At one point, his own family thinks he's lost his mind. His disciples bicker among themselves as to which one is his favorite, and one of those disciples finally betrays him into the hands of those who hate him and who kill him. Those who knew God's gift in the flesh certainly weren't very appreciative. And what has God gotten since then? You know, he's been rejected and vilified and spurned by people throughout history, ever since that first Easter. In love, God left heaven in order to come to us to die and rise again so that he might, as Lewis said, bring us up to himself. An indescribable gift wrapped in amazing love as he paid the price for you and me to be with him for eternity. And that's all he ever wanted. Wrapping gifts, though, also adds to the anticipation of what you're going to find. I can't count how many times my mom and dad put a gift in multiple boxes. As Christmas got nearer and gifts started appearing under the tree, you never had any idea what to expect because you had no idea if the size of the gift had any relation whatsoever to the gift inside. One year, my parents decided to send my brother and I on a Christmas scavenger hunt. They had hidden gift wrap boxes all around the house, and my brother and I had to decipher the clues they contained to find the next box. And those clues finally led us outside. Now remember, Christmas, winter, Alaska. So when we brought that box inside, though, we were excited, we ripped the wrapping paper off it, and we found a rock. Turned out this was the year that the Peanuts Halloween special first aired. Remember that when Charlie Brown kept getting a rock in his bag and while the other kids were getting candy? My parents thought this was just hilarious. The scavenger hunt will be so fun, so funny. My brother failed to see the humor. He just said it was just dumb. But I got to admit, we certainly anticipated something wonderful. Well, God wrapped the gift of our salvation in something that also increased excitement and anticipation as well. He wrapped his love in a promise. Directly after our fall from grace, God said that he would deal with the problem of our sin. As he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And he kept that promise alive through centuries, millennia, in fact. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Joshua, and the judges, through Samuel, David, Solomon, through all the prophets. He promised that he would not abandon his creation or his people. And then, as Paul writes, when the time had fully come, when the time was just right, when the anticipation was at its highest, he acted. And God didn't come with plagues to break the will of the Romans, or a pillar of fire and cloud to guide Israel to some military victory. God fulfilled his purpose through the offspring of a woman, as he wrapped his son in human flesh through the Virgin Mary, who then wrapped that gift in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. In A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens wrote this. He said, it's part of the story, but he writes, it's good to be children sometimes, and never better than Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself. God wrapped himself up for us, wrapped in flesh, wrapped in love. Now, many years after the notorious Christmas scavenger hunt that my brother thought was so dumb, he wrapped up a rock and gave it to my mom as a gift. And about a year later, she wrapped up a rock and gave it back. And over the years, a rock was gifted and regifted, always in a way that the receiver was caught off guard. The last time a rock was gifted was at my mom's 80th birthday in April of 2015. That very week, my father had started chemotherapy for the lung cancer that would take his life 4 months later. And then 8 months later, my brother died due to complications from a stroke that he'd suffered 5 years prior. My brother always had a hard time expressing his feelings, but giving a silly rock became his way of saying, I love you, in a way that was unique and special. In a letter that he was allowed, to send to his family one Christmas while in a German concentration camp, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "This is the wonder of all wonders, that God loves the lowly. God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to lowliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded. He loves the weak and the broken. God says that we are his unique and special way of telling others how much he loves them. He chooses lowly people like you and me to not only receive his love, but to give his love." One woman chose to do this with hugs. This is an article that was posted on today.com a couple of years ago. Elizabeth Laird, the woman beloved by soldiers at Fort Hood as the Hug Lady, died at the age of 83 on Thursday after a long battle with breast cancer. She had given out more than 500,000 hugs since 2003. Laird was a fixture at the military base in Texas, where she would greet soldiers leaving for deployments or returning home. During her battle with breast cancer, that love came back to her as soldiers came to visit her at Metroplex Hospital to give her a hug of their own. An Air Force veteran herself, Laird started out by giving handshakes before graduating to hugs while volunteering for the Salvation Army in 2003. And many soldiers can still recall the exact day when they received a hug from her, and many still have the Psalm 91 card she would hand each of them before deployment. Each hug that Elizabeth shared was her unique way of sharing her love. But she also used it as an opportunity to remind the people who were hugged of God's love. Psalm 91 points both to Jesus as well as to all who trust in him when the psalmist writes, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." God gave us his love at Christmas. He fulfilled his promise, anticipated for centuries, wrapped in love and laid in a manger. And he gives you the privilege of sharing his gift in ways that are unique, unique to who he has made you to be. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement or a listening ear. Sometimes it's even a rock. But however you give that gift, as it's given in Jesus' name, God can use it. Use it to draw the one who receives it up to himself. Amen.